forward to fellowship downstairs after the service. Praise God. Let's let the Lord minister to us tonight. Amen. First Chronicles chapter 11. David's mighty men. Verse 9 and verse 10. It's not the list. I'm not going to go into the list. And thank God that you're reading First Chronicles. The first 6 or 7 chapters are full of genealogies. My word. It just goes on and on and on. But finally, we get to David wax greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. That's all that matters, isn't it? Verse 10, these also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. So, the mighty. Everybody say the mighty. The mighty. Praise God. You can be seated. God bless you. It'd be quite a study to go into each of the mighty men to examine their backgrounds and how they came to be designated. There's a designation, one of the 30, some among the 3, and so on. And we thank God for them. Now, not to slight the women, because we know there were women who stepped forward in tremendous ways. And the bottom line, of course, if there weren't mighty women, there wouldn't be the population that we have. God bless our mighty women. But Deborah and Hannah and Sarah, several more that were just incredibly used in the work of the Lord. And so we include the women, too, who are mighty. And you'll see as I go through this lesson how important that is. But Benaiah is who we're going to focus on tonight. Benaiah, one of David's mighty men. There are 3 areas that he perhaps would qualify, and the fact that he was made captain over David's bodyguards was probably a result of his earlier exploits that he did to qualify himself as a mighty man. He faced an Egyptian with a staff. That's all he had, just a big old stick. And the Egyptian was 5 cubits, which translates to 7.5 feet tall. That's a pretty big fella. And he had a spear that matched his size, and he knew how to use it. But Benaiah faced him, and with his staff, took his spear away and killed that 7.5-foot Egyptian with his own spear. So that's a mighty man. Then he faced 2 champions of Moab. Now, these warriors of Moab were described as lion-like men. So I'm trying to imagine, did they have hair and beards that looked like a lion's mane? Or did they have something as a weapon? My imagination was running. Did they have claws that they would strap onto the back of their hands, and those claws would stick out, and they could make a fist, and those iron claws or whatever they might be, when they take a swipe at somebody, it was bad news. I don't know. That's my imagination. You can play with your own imagination. But they're dead now, because Benaiah killed them. 2 of them. He took care of it. So, no wonder he was appointed one of David's mighty men. Now, the exploit that stands out to me involves a pit and a snowy day and a lion. Any one of those circumstances would have contributed to things not working very well for you in a particular day. Just ask Brother Rick. He's running out of places to put the snow. Ask the Lord. We've seen enough. We're convinced it can snow. But The combination of these things that Benaiah faced could have made for a real bad day. The pit, plus a snowy day, plus a lion, might equal disaster for most of us. I know it would for me. But he faced all three of those circumstances and came out the victor. Now, did he have that pit in a strategic, in his strategy that he would chase that lion? He ran after it. He chased it and caused the lion to go down into the pit. Now, a snowy day would make it easy to track, but it also would hinder your vision. And but that didn't stop Benaiah. He took out after that lion. It went into a pit. He followed it into the pit, and that's where the action took place. And I'm thinking, wouldn't it have been prudent for him to just stand on the edge of the pit and shoot arrows at that lion and just make it a pincushion and take care of it that way, let it bleed out, let it eventually collapse? But no, he followed that lion into the pit. Two sets of tracks going in, one set of tracks coming out. That's pretty impressive. And they were human tracks. They weren't lion tracks. Maybe after killing the two lion-like men, he decided, I'm going to go after the real thing. And that's what he did. He overcame all of the obstacles and went home with a lion skin. Maybe the fangs and the claws, you know, in Africa, those are the Maasai prove their manhood by going after a lion like that, and they keep the claws and the fangs. I wonder if Benaiah did. Maybe he just tossed them away and said, I don't need this criteria. I don't need this evidence. David calls me a mighty man, and that's all I need. Praise God. And if the Lord calls you one of his children, what does that mean? If the Lord calls you mighty, the Lord calls you holy, the Lord calls you beloved, I mean, nothing the devil can do to mess that up. Praise God. And thank the Lord we're able to move into the realm of the power of the blessing of the Lord. So, whatever the criteria, being a mighty man, killing lion-like men, killing a 7.5-foot Egyptian, a dead lion in a pit on a snowy day, no doubt he qualified. He qualified. So, that's amazing to be able to read. That's incredible to be able to look at the list and see all of the exploits that this particular mighty man did. The others are incredible as well. Shema and some different ones, you know, the one who protected a crop of beans and just the various things that were accomplished. But let me just state here at the outset, God needs mighty men and women today. He needs them in his kingdom. Praise God. Some of you were here when I taught the lesson. This is a long time ago. And this was when I did off-the-wall teaching with the projector and the transparencies. And I had a hangman type setup there. W-dash, you were in diapers, my friend. This is that long ago. You may not even been here. W-RR-R. That's what I had on the transparency. And Sister Elaine figured it out right off the bat. I hardly even got started. I put that transparency on the machine and turned it on, flashed it up there, and she said it. Wire, warrior. And that was my lesson. Can you be a warrior or you can be a worrier? Either one. And which one does the devil want you to be? Which one does the Lord call you to be? Amen. So, we've got to move into that realm and understand. The phrases, when a bunch of us were young, we had different phrases that we went by or that we used, right? Now, it's interesting to hear the phrases that become common. Yeah, I know, right? No worries. No worries. I've heard that more and more here just recently. Those are good statements. And you should say, yeah, I know, right? Well, the scriptures support the saying, no worries. The scriptures say that. Not just somebody that you might bump into and you say, excuse me, and they say, no worries. Philippians 4 and 6. Oh, you know what I was supposed to do? I was supposed to ask you. What scriptures? Okay, we got that covered. What other verses do you use to help you when the worry bug is trying to bite you? And you're trying to be positive and situations are just jumping all around at you and things are boiling and bubbling and you're trying to grasp something to hold on to. What scripture do you use? Which? All right. And the Lord was with David, so in the same way, we recognize the Lord was with Joseph. That's a good thing. As the Lord, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. He spoke that to who? Yeah, to Joshua. Joshua was a young protege of Moses. And Moses took Joshua places that he had never been before. And as far as that goes, places that Moses had not been before. But Joshua learned that the Lord was with him. Okay, other verses. Sister Annette. Okay, go ahead. That's a good heritage. That's what the Lord wants to pass on. That's what the Lord wants to give, that righteousness that comes from him. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Wow, that's a good promise. Brother Levi. All right, Isaiah 41:10, there's the I wills of the one who is almighty. So, did he take yours, Sister Becca? Okay, you've got one too, good. Every thought brought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that means we've got to make sure those thoughts are going to be pleasing to him, are going to be what he desires. And kind of like the psalmist said, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 follows right after that verse about warfare that we're going to touch on here tonight and recognize no worries. Amen. Somebody was waving their hand over here. Oh, all right. That's a good verse. Amen. Sister Donna.
Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
All right. Amen. Keeping your mind on the Lord, trusting him. Isaiah 26:3. Is that right? Okay. Good. Wow, a lot of good ones. Let's go ahead and go with Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then notice verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, that's not saying be carefree in an irresponsible sense. You know, just being airheaded. No, it means don't be anxious, don't be worried, don't let that stuff weigh you down. Amen. In Matthew 6, a phrase repeats itself or is repeated four times. And that phrase in Matthew 6, 25 to 34, we won't read all of the verses. The phrase that occurs there is take no thought. Take no thought. Again, we explain it's not being thoughtless, not being inconsiderate, but it's not being worried. Look at the promises of God. Verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things God wants to provide. God wants to take care of. Amen. And so verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I thought, well, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's understand what that means. Phillips' translation says, don't worry at all then about tomorrow. Tomorrow can take care of itself. One day's trouble is enough for one day. So, but we all like to borrow from tomorrow. We like to. The message is kind of goofy sometimes, but this time it's pretty good. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Praise God. So, if there's mighty men, we know there's going to be warfare. And God, I believe, desires for us to be able to step into that warfare. And that's where 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, the passage that Becca read from, as far as thoughts, here it declares the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So that lets us know that we're not going to have mighty men like Benaiah and Shimon, different ones that qualify as David's mighty men. 30 of them. We're not gonna have that combat. But there is going to be the pulling down of strongholds. There is going to be the demonstration of God's mighty power through you, because that's who he wants to use. God uses imperfect people, because that's the only kind there are. And so, don't expect that the Lord's going to pass you up because you're not perfect. No, he's looking for someone who can pull down those strongholds. Sometimes the walls are going to fall like Jericho, and the Lord just blow on them. But other times, you're going to have to grab hold. Other times, you're going to have to get a grip and see what the Lord is going to do. See, the Lord declared, I will build my church. And that's a powerful statement, the will of God. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. That means those gates are going to come down. That means there are going to be strongholds that will be dismantled. And hell builds those strongholds around the hearts of souls, the hearts of people that you need to reach. Amen. And so there is warfare. Ephesians 6, with the listing of the armor, lets us know there's warfare. And verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And thank the Lord, there's the other aspects of the armor as well, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, your feet shod with the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Amen. Those fiery darts are a double danger. But the scripture says, your shield of faith will quench every one of them. Not one will get through. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty amazing. And thank God that all of them can be quenched with the shield of faith. We make sure we've got the total armor. Make sure because it's not just armor in the sense of putting something on. No, there's salvation, there's righteousness, there's truth, there's the Spirit, there's faith. Praise God. And those are the components of what God means to bring victory to you. But there's a battle, isn't there? There's a battle. You know, let me confess that I am frustrated at times to hear of what missionaries go through health-wise. You know, it seems to me, we pray for laborers in the harvest and they get sick. We pray for laborers in the harvest and their health is poor. We pray for laborers in the harvest and just difficulties come. But it occurred to me, and it should have occurred to me a long time ago, that there can't be a victory without a battle. There's got to be a conflict in order for there to be a positive outcome. And that's what some of these missionaries go through. You know, take, for example, Brother Bernard, Elder Brother Bernard, the superintendent that we have now in the UPCI, grew up in Korea. But while they were traveling and getting support, they had a vehicle accident. And Elder Brother Bernard was severely injured. And one of the reactions or the outcomes of that accident was his hair turned white. Well, he healed up. They finished their fundraising. They went to Korea. And lo and behold, that culture respects elders with white hair. So God worked it out. The scripture says you can't make your hair black or white. But God provided for Elder Brother Bernard. And just amazing. Amazing. Praise God. So that shield of faith, make sure it's there. Because the Lord promised in Luke 10 and 19, I give you power. He said, behold, as though it's a, you know, pay attention and note this. Mark it down. Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That sounds like that verse in Isaiah. No weapon. Praise God. And thank the Lord. That's where we can focus. Focus on the power. The devil wants us to focus on the scorpions and the serpents and Satan. And sometimes that's what we end up doing because we're scared, we're worried, we're anxious. But focus on the power. I give you power. And then he repeated it, power over the enemy. Praise God. And thank the Lord that there is that kind of power and a blessing. Now, I've challenged you with double. And understand, your enemy wants to double too. He thinks that's cute. He thinks that's a good idea. And he says, that's good. Let me double your doubt. Let me double your frustration. Let me double your fear. He knows how effective that is. He knows how much torment there is in fear. So he wants to double it. Let me double distraction. And that's a spirit that is opposed to you. But there's got to rise up a determination within us. God is mighty in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise God. And I'm going to defeat the devil double. Amen. Praise God. So you know, we get excited about that. We get thrilled about that. Praise God, a powerful message, wonderful. We'll run the aisles, we'll jump up and down, we'll clap our hands. That's awesome. But we got to do something with it. Because the devil will just laugh if all we do is shout and praise and sing. Because he's still got them locked up. He's still got the strongholds. We sang about that stronghold being taken down. Amen. Thank God we can sing about it. Now we got to do it. Praise God. And so, to be victorious, you know, what did Benaiah look like when he came out of that pit? Was he all scratched? Was he all sweaty? Did he have blood flowing? We don't know. We don't know. But I bet you his step was light. I don't think he came dragging out of there. I don't think he came, you know, just like, oh, barely made that. I think his step was strong. I think his back was straight. I think he held his head up. I think he was recognizing this is victory. He probably couldn't help but smile every time he shook that lion skin. He probably couldn't help but recognize this is what the Lord has done. Yes. Praise God. So be happy in a negative world. Remember that? Don't worry. Be happy. Stupid fish flopping. It's more than an empty song. It's a way to live because of what God has done for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you look at some people who call themselves Christians, and they look like they have their own interpretation of Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with grumpiness. Is that what it says? No, it says serve the Lord with gladness. If the Lord has given you victory, amen. Now, rules of engagement. I don't have a military background. Those of you who have a military background, probably frustrated with the rules of engagement that you had to operate under. They hindered, they blocked, they held back. Did you have to wait to be fired on before you could? No? Oh, okay. But it came, different president, different rules. But that would frustrate me to no end. I've got all kinds of firepower. I can get on the phone and I can call air support. I can have artillery back at the base, start lobbing some nice presents for those who are shooting at me. But I can't because of rules of engagement. The Lord does not have rules of engagement that tie your hands. Your feet are not shackled. Your mouth is not closed. The Lord says, go to it. Engage. Get after it. Praise God. Praise God. That's what the Lord wants you to do. But sometimes we act like, whew, I'm glad I escaped that one. I'm glad I didn't have to invite him to church. Wow, I almost had to testify. Don't let the devil beat you down like that. Amen. Engage. Don't act fearful. Don't miss out on what God intended for you. Step out in faith. You know, we exclaim about faith for miracles. We exclaim about faith for signs and wonders. Oh, that's good. Praise God. I'll shout right along with you. But go ahead and step out in faith with reaching souls. Be mighty in winning the victory in that way as well. testify about what the Lord has done for you. Amen. It may seem old to you, but somebody hearing it for the first time is just going to be thrilled. I talked to a man about AJ. Remember AJ getting his sight? Him hollering out, "I can see!" That's old, isn't it? We've talked about that for so long. But I talked to a man and that was buying my outboard motor. And I started telling him about the miracle of AJ. He stood there with his eyes getting big. And he said, "Oh, I feel chills up and down my back." May seem old to you sometimes, but somebody brand new needs to hear you tell it again. And as far as that goes, you know, I preach. I preach about Cornelius. I preach about Stephen. How many times have you heard that? How many times can you recount that I'll preach about Paul and the Ephesian believers? All the different stories that you've heard over and over and over. Now here's the question. How good are you at telling that story? And every time you hear it, you determine in your heart, I'm going to go tell someone who has never heard it, and I'm going to share that truth with them. Instead of sitting back saying, "Oh, Pastor, we've heard that 100 times. God help me. Amen. I always try to end things positively, but it's going down now. Oh, Lord, help us. Because your salvation, your healing, your strength is what you can testify about. You may not have been healed of cancer, but you know 3 people who have right here. Praise God. Your prayer is being answered. The power of the Lord being displayed for you. Every service. Amen. Now, your Bible. You know more about your Bible than the average person in this area. In fact, I venture to say you know more Bible than most preachers do in this area. I really think so. So, you can show someone baptism in the name of Jesus Christ as you open your Bible. It's just real simple. Can I show you something? Let me see what you think about this. Amen. Somebody raises the aspect or the doctrine of Trinity, and you may feel like, well, I don't want to butt heads here. I don't want to, you know, I wish I'd, when the last time it came up, I kind of held off. But I wish I'd have just started quoting scriptures about one. And just ask them, hey, what do you think about Deuteronomy 6 and 4? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And those verses in Isaiah, well, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. How many did he see? He saw one sitting on the throne. And Isaiah 43, 10 and 11, you'll get the connection when I say it here. I've chosen you that you may know and believe and understand that I, even I, am your Savior and there's no other. He said, you are my witnesses. Who's that sound like? People who are fearlessly going door to door, sending letters. I've gotten, I don't know how many letters in the last couple of years trying to show me what the witnesses believe. There's got to be a fearlessness to step out and understand what God can do for you. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. James 2 and 19. So get yourself ready and don't feel bound. Step in as a mighty man, a mighty woman, to be able to do the work of the Lord. Into His Marvelous Light is a wonderful track, but be sure to follow up with it. In fact, it's better if you sit down with somebody and teach them Let them read the scriptures. Let them fill in or do the check on the yes or no. If you do it online, that's great. Go ahead. But make sure you arrange to give them a hard copy. I've got them in my file. And we'll make sure that you get one to pass on. Because they can't get answers from a booklet. They have to be able to ask someone. And you have to be there to answer. It takes about an hour, but you can divide it up into 2 half-hour, you know, if you're teaching somebody on lunch break or whatever. If that's the only time you're able to work with it, go ahead. But make sure they get their personal copy. Amen. Exploring God's Word, that's my favorite. 12 lessons, but I've learned. I'm not going to cover every chart in the lesson. We haven't done that, have we, Brother Matt? Sometimes we've only done one page. It's just been powerful stuff that's there. Praise God. So go ahead and take your time. But in that time, you're building friendship. You're building faith. You're building up their understanding of what the Word of God says. So that when you teach the new birth, Acts 2:38, they're going to have to agree that obedience is what God looks for, and you establish that by telling all these Bible stories on through until you get to lesson 8 or whatever it is that you share the Acts 2:38 message. And that word share is really important. A lot of people consider themselves knowledgeable in the Scripture. They really aren't. Like I said, they hardly know anything like you do. But you're going to share with them. And they're going to share their understanding, their thoughts. That's a good way to present it rather than, I'll teach you. So it's a situation where you're adding line upon line, here a little, there a little. You're helping them to understand a little bit more because God wants you to be mighty. Look at Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16, here's the might that God wants us to have, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Paul's praying for the people. He's praying for the saints. And he says, I want you to have might in his strength in the Spirit and the riches of his glory. I want you to have that. Go to Colossians 1:11. Here's Paul praying for the people in Colossae. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. Wow, that's awesome, isn't it? Colossians 1:11. Now, here's the message. Dropping back to, about verse 9, I guess. Here's what the message says. We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul, not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in every bright and beautiful that he has for us. Everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. I like that translation. That's pretty interesting. But Paul was saying, he works mightily in me. Colossians 1:29, he worketh in me mightily. And what he was referring to was verse 28, preaching and teaching every man so that we can present him perfect to the Lord. That effort had to be there. Amen. And that power needs to come forth. So, to be mighty, the gossiper has to stop gossiping and share the gospel. That's being mighty. Amen. Is there something about frowning and smiling? That smiling takes less muscles than frowning? Whatever. Hope that doesn't take that to make you smile. I hope you remember the good things of God. Amen. The offended need to make sure they're going to offend the devil. He's the one who gives the bad day, after all, not your brother and sister. Give the devil a bad day. Offend him. Amen. And see his smile turn to a frown. Thank God. Now, here's a list that includes the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. And Revelation says, they have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. The Amplified clears it up a little bit more for us. The abominable, who are devoid of character and personal integrity and practice or tolerate immorality. And murderers and sorcerers with intoxicating drugs. And idolaters and occultists who practice and teach false religions. And all the liars who knowingly deceive and twist truth. Now, Revelation 21 and 8 has that list. But you know who leads the list? Fearful and unbelieving. This is what I meant when I try to end things with a positive note. But the fearful and unbelieving is what I want you to look at now. And see if you find your name there. Because we're so quick to excuse our fear and our unbelief. Oh, God understands. Oh, God knows. Oh, God is going to help. Yes, he will. But you've got to be mighty. You've got to step forward. You've got to recognize, I can't excuse being fearful and unbelieving. I've got to step into the harvest field. I've got to rescue souls. I've got to reach out to those who have never heard, never experienced this powerful, wonderful presence of God and truth that makes us free. Amen. Because it's so easy to excuse it. So easy to make it seem like, oh, well, the Lord understands. No, the fearful and the unbelieving are going to have their part in the lake that burns with fire. I can't find my name in that list. I'm certainly not going to find it in the sorcerers and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and so on. But fearful and unbelieving, sometimes I think that can slide. Mm-mm. Nope. What qualifies you to step in to be called a mighty man, a mighty woman of God? Benaiah qualified himself over and over. Any one of those valiant deeds would have probably elevated him to be chosen as David's bodyguard, the captain of David's bodyguard. We don't fight that way anymore. We're not shooting arrows, we're not swinging swords, we're not throwing spears. But we're in a battle. We're in a battle. What are you going to do to show God that you want to be mighty in his harvest? Not fearful, not unbelieving, but mighty. That's what the Lord's looking for. Could you stand with me? You know what, Sister Becca, thank you for being ready to play and sing, but I think we need to pray tonight. I think we just need to focus on prayer. I don't know how long we're going to pray, not probably very long, but I think there really needs to be a calling out on God right now. I think there really needs to be a seeking. God, don't let me slip into that realm of being fearful and unbelieving. Let my action show that I believe you are mighty in me. Let my work demonstrate, Lord, that I'm willing to step into the harvest, that there are souls that I've got to testify to. There are those that I've got to invite, that there are those that I've got to include. Amen. Amen. So let's come and pray.